Well, I am excited about the message this morning. Now, I'm going to start off with two stories that I'm going to read. And I don't normally just go through and read stories, but these stories, I want to get them just word for word as they are written so we can really get the meaning of these stories. And as I'm going through these stories, you need to pay very close attention, and I'm going to show you right at the end how these stories connect. Now, as I'm going through here, you won't catch the connection probably, but at the very end, the point, or at the very end of the stories, the point is going to be very clear to you on how they connect. Story number one. Many years ago, Al Capone virtually owned Chicago. Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. He was notorious for enmeshing the Windy City in everything from bootleg booze and prostitution to murder. Capone had a lawyer named Easy Eddie. He was nicknamed this for a good reason. He was a very good lawyer. Eddie was so good that his skills kept Big Al out of jail for a long, long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid Eddie very, very well. Not only was the money big, but Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion with live-in help and all of the conveniences of that day. The estate was so large that it filled an entire Chicago city block. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob and gave very little consideration to the atrocity that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however. He had a son that he loved very, very much. Eddie saw to it that his young son had the very best of everything. Clothes, cars, and a good education, nothing was withheld. Price was no object. And despite of his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach his son right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be a better man than he was. Yet with all of his wealth and influence, there were two things that he could not give his son. He could not pass on a good name, and he was not giving him a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a very difficult decision. Easy Eddie wanted to rectify wrongs he had done, so he decided he would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Capone, clean up his tarnished name, and offer his son some semblance of integrity. To do this, Easy Eddie knew he would have to testify against the mob, and he knew that the cost would be very, very great. But he did. He went and testified. And within 1 year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price that he could have ever paid. That was story number one. Story number two. World War II produced many heroes. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day his entire squadron was sent on a mission. After he was airborne, Butch looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his fuel tank. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and to get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft was speeding their way toward the American fleet of ships. The American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. Butch couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet, nor could he warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There was only one thing he could do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet of ships. Laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of Japanese planes, wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch wove in and out of the now broken formation and fired at as many planes as possible until all his ammunition was finally spent. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to clip a wing or a tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hare and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding his return. The film from the gun camera mounted on his plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. This took place on February 20th, 1942, and for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. 1 year later, Butch was killed in an aerial combat at the age of 29. His hometown would not allow the memory of this World War II hero to fade, and today O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named in tribute to this courageous young man. And it goes on to tell us that the next time you're there at O'Hare Airport, you might want to visit Butch's memorial. Now, let me tell you what these two stories have not necessarily in common, but what connects these two stories. You see, Butch O'Hare was Easy Eddie's son. Now, what we're going to be talking about, folks, today is the legacy that we live. The life that we live is very important. Our legacy, our example to our children and to our grandchildren is extremely important, very important, crucial, in fact. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now, folks, that last statement, "their works do follow them," is really true whether it's good works or bad works. Your works will follow you. I am today who I am to a great extent of the legacy and the example that my dad set for me during his life. And I don't take that lightly. I feel the responsibility to carry that legacy on because my dad was a tremendous example to me. You are today to a great extent because of the legacy and the example of your parents. Even Jesus, that one ought to catch your attention, was who he was because of the example of his father. Jesus said in John 8:28, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Our example, our legacy, is so very important. In fact, your kids are more than likely to follow your example than not. Now, that should scare some of us. Those of us that are not living the way we should. To think that our kids are going to follow our example should literally scare us into changing. From what I've read about Easy Eddie, the major influence for him changing was he realized he was not leaving a good legacy. He was not setting a good example for his son. And I am glad he made the tough decision to change. But folks, our kids more than likely will follow our example. If you are faithful to church and if you're active in the church, more than likely your kids are going to be faithful in the church and active in the church. If you have some sort of bad habit, the statistics say that your kids have an 85% chance of picking up that particular bad habit and carrying on with it. That goes from everything from drinking to smoking to child abuse to every bad habit. Your kids have an 85% chance. And for those of you sitting on the back row this morning, this isn't directed at you. I'm just going to give you an example. Up at New Sulphur, we had a deacon that would literally fight for the back row. That was his seat. Well, guess what? Our impact, our influence is passed down 2 to 3 generations. When we left New Sulphur, not only was that deacon there and his wife, but their kids were on that back row and their grandkids were on the back row. This goes 2 or 3 generations deep, folks. We have a great example of that right here in our church. Brother Aaron and Sister Lorraine, they're no longer here. But their kids are in this church and active in this church. Their grandkids are in this church and active in this church. And their great-grandkids are in this church and active in this church. We're talking about something that goes 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 generations deep. What you do matters. What you do matters. Your example matters. Your legacy, it matters. We must consider the consequences of our actions. Why don't you ask yourself a question? Do I really want my children and my grandchildren to follow my example? And if the answer to that is no, then we need to make some changes. Do I want my children and grandchildren to follow in my footsteps just like I have followed somebody else's? Is what I'm doing okay? And if it's not, we need to make some changes. When my mom and dad was 18 years old, of course, I wasn't even heard of at that time, but when mom and dad was 18, them and my grandparents were just about as heathen as you could get. Went to the dance hall, smoked like a smokestack, drank, did all the things that heathens do. And I have thought so many times, what if they had not got saved and what if they had not gotten active in serving the Lord? Folks, my life would be considerably different than it is today. And guess what? Whether good or bad, your life would be considerably different also because I ended up being your pastor. Some of you are glad of that, some of you are not. That's okay. But it their decision influenced you. And you, well, you guys have met my mom, but you haven't met my dad. He passed on before I came down here. You never met my grandparents. But their decision, their legacy, their example has affected you. That's how big this thing is. It goes much deeper than we think it does. Now, in my lifetime, God has blessed me to where I have influenced and impacted a few men's lives. Two of those are preachers. Two of those are deacons. And a few of them are active in the ministries of different churches. And I found out the other day the impact of God using me to influence those men, how deep that can really go. A while back, Chad Johnson was here and preached for us. And you've met Chad. He's been down here several times. Chad is not a licensed preacher. He preaches because he has so much of God in his heart, he says, I've just got to tell somebody. And I like that, because that's not the old Chad. The old Chad pointed his finger in my face one day and said, I can serve God just as well on the lake as I can in the church, and you leave me alone. And so I did. And about 3 months later, he came up and said, okay, your silence is screaming at me. I'll be in church. And I said, good. And from that day on, he's been faithful to the Lord. He has grown by leaps and bounds. It's been an amazing transformation to watch that young man. But about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago now, one of Chad's co-workers, Chad works for an electric company, Ozark Electric. One of his co-workers in the electric company got electrocuted and about a week later died. This young man did not go to church. I say young man, he had been with the electric company 25 years, I think Chad said. But this man did not go to church. This family approached Chad and said, "We know that you're a godly man. Would you preach our husband and our father's funeral?" Chad had the opportunity to stand in front of 300 of his co-workers and present the gospel. Folks, that's humbling to me. What if I had not been living in a way that I could have influenced Chad? Sure, it would have affected Chad and his family. But it would have also affected 300 plus people at one setting, because Chad would not have been there and would not have been ready to share with those folks. Our example matters. And I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, to the dads, it matters to our own kids, first and foremost. We need to be living a godly example before our kids. God is going to hold us responsible for that one day. In fact, He's holding us responsible now. We just don't see the consequences of it. But we need to be the godly spiritual leaders in our home. Because it does matter. And we need to ask ourselves if the example that we're living, if that benefits our kids or not. That's really the decision that Easy Eddie had to come to. He came to the decision that his life, even though he had everything materially that he could possibly imagine, was not benefiting his son. And I'm glad he had that soft spot in his heart for his son. Folks, do you realize that the decision that Easy Eddie made affected every man that was on those ships that were being attacked by the Japanese? His decision to turn around, and to not only just to turn around, but to go rectify the wrongs that he had done, showed his son there's a better way to live. And instead of joining the mob, his son joined the Navy and went out and was saving lives instead of taking lives, and saved the lives of countless men on those fleets of ships. That's powerful. That shows the power of our legacy. That shows the power of our example. We have to play the what-if game. What if Easy Eddie had not been man enough to muster up the courage to change? Because when he made the decision to change, he knew his life was going to end. You don't mess with the mob and live. And he knew that. But he, in his own heart, he said, "My son is more important than my own life." And if Easy Eddie had not changed, had not made that hard decision, then in all likelihood, his son would have ended up as part of the mob instead of being a Navy fighter pilot and saving lives. We have to look at the consequences of our actions. And you're probably not going to see the consequences immediately. I'm sure the day that Easy Eddie made that decision, his son looked the same. But that decision over the years made a major impact on his son. Our example may not make an immediate change in the lives of our families, but over time, it will. Over time, it will. We've heard the old saying that the apple does not fall far from the tree. Folks, that is so true. In the spiritual realm, that is true. And yes, there are some exceptions. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I was going all around it, but I wasn't getting it. There are some exceptions. That's always going to be the case. In English, there's all these rules with some exceptions to all the rules. And sometimes people say, well, that didn't happen to so-and-so. Well, that's the exception. The general rule is the apple does not fall far from the tree. And we need to realize that. And we need to realize that our family is going to follow us. And we need to ask ourselves, am I leading my family where I want them to go? That is a vitally important decision. And you may have to make some drastic changes like Easy Eddie did. He had to make a very tough decision. You may have to decide to give up something to start attending church on a regular basis, Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and to get involved in the church and to make sure that your family is being led spiritually. But the day you stand in heaven with your family, you will be glad you did. Amen. There's nothing more important than our family's spiritual well-being. For things to change, we have to change. And like I said, it may take a tough decision. And I know that Easy Eddie didn't live to hear about his son. But if he had been alive, I can just imagine him saying, oh, I'm so glad I made that decision. So glad I made that decision. And in your case, I can promise you not only will you be glad, but your kids will be glad and your grandkids will be glad. I am so proud of my grandparents. My granddad died when I was 3 months old. But I am so proud that him and my grandmother and my parents got saved and lived a godly life. Saved me from all sorts of horrendous things in my life because I was following their example. So my question to you this morning is, what kind of legacy are you leaving? What kind of example are you setting for your children? And then the second question is that the legacy that we want to pass on? Now going back to Chad, the day that he told me to leave him alone, that he could serve God out on the lake just as well as he could in church, I knew that wasn't true. And he knew that wasn't true. And I praise God he made the right decision. And I've already told you about all of the people that he influenced just in that one funeral service. But folks, what I'm more excited about than even that is his son today is a committed, dedicated, faithful, young Christian man. Amen. And if Chad had not made some decisions and some choices to change some things, his son would have grown up with the idea, it's okay to go fishing on Sunday. Dad said God's out there just as much as he's in the church. And he would have grown up with a completely distorted view of what God and Christianity and Jesus Christ is all about. So yes, we are going to have an impact and an influence on others, but I'm talking about the legacy you're leaving for your family, for your kids, and for your grandkids, and then their kids. This keeps getting passed on, and it is so important. Father, I come before you, and I thank you so much for the legacy that I have from my parents and from my grandparents. And Father, for the legacy that comes from the ancestors in this church. We see in this church, Father, how that legacy is passed down from generation to generation to generation, on the good side and on the bad side. And Father, we have some parents in this church that look back at the life that they lived when their kids were younger, And they have a lot of regrets because their kids are not in church now. And they say, if I could only go back and change some things. And Father, I know if they had a chance to stand in this pulpit, they would beg the folks here. They'd beg the fathers and the mothers to live a life that is godly. To live a life that is faithful. That they will be active in the church and serving God with all of their heart. Not only for their sake, but for their kids' sake. And for their grandkids' sake. And Lord, I'm asking you today to help the dads and the mothers here today to make that tough decision, to decide to make some changes, that they are going to live their life for God. Again, not just for their sake, but for their kids' sake. And Lord, we thank you. We know that you're faithful to your word, and we know that when they make that decision that you'll meet them and that you'll help them every step of the way as they do that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.